Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio with our host, Laura. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Paul. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Sorry, I have that raspy voice here today.
We are really excited about this episode of Ready, Set, Grow.
So let's ready, set, and grow.
Welcome, everyone. We're happy to have you today with us to the last episode of the Ready, Set, Grow live radio show. It's been a pleasure working with Paul, Jim, and the team, and we have been delighted and fortunate to have some amazing Austin CEOs share their insights on growth and marketing's role in growth over the last year. Special thanks to Ziggy Shanklin, JT McCormick, Dave Sikora, Kevin Jones, Becky Taylor, Mark Hafner, and Greg Stock. All of their programs have been exceptional. You can catch the replays at visionedgemarketing.com. Today, we are wrapping up the Ready, Set, Grow radio show with an awesome guest. Please join me in welcoming Kevin Dunworth, CEO and chairman of Selling Biosciences here in Austin. So, in partnership with Benu Life, and Selling caters to more of the medical and scientific community in terms of regenerative medicine. We're going to talk a lot about that. But as part of that, we have Benu Life as well. They kind of work together, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about what that means. But let me tell you a little bit about Kevin. Kevin has a very interesting background. He was a boxer. And we'll have time to talk about Kevin and boxing. He was a winning boxer, and he got into medicine because he was a patient. And eventually, over time, this became a passion for him. And he has spent 34 years in the biomedical industry. The last two decades, he's brought together physicians, scientists, and like-minded entrepreneurs to help improve the standard of healthcare, particularly in orthopedics and regenerative medicine. And I share Kevin's passion for regenerative medicine, and that's some really interesting things going on there. Have a lot of experience personally in the orthopedic section of the world, so we have lots in common. I want to get us going and talking about growth and marketing. And Kevin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
As the CEO of a company that's been around for a while, right? You're not a newbie. This is not your first rodeo, as we would say here in Texas. Where does organic growth typically fit for you in your priority list?
You know, I get asked this question a lot, and it lends itself to answering it with a ranking number one, number two, or number three. With stem cells and the way that it's going to affect change in healthcare, it's a necessity. We need to have people not only that are customers, but have adopted a change in the way in which they treat patients.
Well, you're at the forefront of some very interesting things, which means that you really have only one option when it comes to growth, and that is organic.
Yeah, exactly,
for sure. There's nowhere else to go. That's actually helping make this industry.
Yeah.
So that's very, very exciting. So when you're in a market such as this, I mean, you're not a startup. You've been doing this for a while,
mm-hmm.
right? Stem cells have been part of regenerative medicine for a while, too. It's not like it's brand new. No one's ever heard of it. A lot mm-hmm. of people have heard of it. So when you think about where you are in your journey, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges you face?
Early on when we got started, we were focused on surgery like everybody else. And adding cell therapy to surgery really wasn't that difficult because you do have to violate the hip, the iliac, to rescue the cells that we look to as a therapy. But as we moved to this more proactive approach in the clinics, it was tough. There was, you know, concerns that my business is doing surgery because the way we bifurcate pain management surgery, could probably even trifurcate where we look at rehab. There was this thought that, you know, if my business is surgery, do I want something that may alleviate that opportunity? This is from the medical perspective. When we began to build clinics, I literally built a clinic in Austin to really with never the mind of running it for as long as we have, but to bring people in and show them that this is another modality that lends itself to more accurately providing surgical intervention and or a biological intervention that might come after a very conservative rehab. So we added this third opportunity for doctors, and the ones that have adopted it love it. We still sometimes struggle to explain how you narrow the funnel for people that are looking for pain relief but are scared of surgery.
Exactly. So I think, you know, in layman's terms, it's hard. It's really interesting and fascinating to me, particularly, you know, the whole bioscience space. All of us as human beings face healthcare, right? And wellness. So this is something that affects everybody's everyday life. And all of us at some point or another have pain that needs to be managed. All of us at some point, hopefully not all of us, but many of us at some point in our lives will face an orthopedic issue. And there will be many options and protocols, some of which can only be addressed through surgery. My sister just had three cervical discs replaced. So my mother's has a titanium cage in her back. So I have been around orthopedic stuff a long time. I'm doing everything I can to avoid that scenario.
That's the key.
That's the key. That's why we're talking, you know, I'm so glad to have this conversation because I've been down this path. I suspect a lot of our listeners have too. And so you really have an innovative technology around using stem cells to help people be able to either postpone surgery altogether or at least push it out, correct?
When we really get it right, we have patients that take a diseased area that they have, like your mother with the back. It has become inflamed, it's then acidic, and the body can't reheal this
because
the cells get killed. So we just overwhelm that area with the stem cells that we rescue, we concentrate, we clean them up, we put them back in. Usually, knock on wood, most of the time, the cells that did that, their efforts in down-regulating the inflammation signal and then bringing it back to base so you don't have this acid. The body then really takes over and you're back to the way it was before you had this incident that made it difficult for the body to repair itself. But in a best-case scenario, you know, God never intended us not to be able to take care of ourselves. This medicine is a thought afterwards. These wellness approaches, ours is with diet, supplementation, measurements of physical fitness, and then, of course, cells are the last bolt onto it. But really, without any hyperbole, the opportunity to avoid surgery and have a longer life we're at the forefront of that.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of our listeners are in spaces where there is complexity, whether that's technology or industry, right? Many of them are in B2B environments. And so they think they're in pretty complex, sophisticated spaces that take a lot of really specialty. You are really, truly in a complicated, sophisticated space with a lot of specialty. And communicating that in terms that aren't just only medical, I imagine, are both a blessing and a curse because you are working with doctors and medical people every day, so you need to be able to communicate with them.
Yep.
But the people that you are serving and helping are everyday people who don't speak that language. So let's talk about what that means from a culture perspective, because you've got the medical community, they need one kind of culture, and then you have patients like my mother who need a whole nother kind of culture. So what kind of culture do you think your company has that has helped you be able to grow? And what do you think are the most important characteristics of a growth culture?
And again, I don't want to continue to harp on the healthcare aspect, but because we are in a business that whether you market this way intentionally or unintentionally, you're selling hope to people. And so we often, when we're talking about this organic growth, we call it truth. And so the opportunity to sell hope like snake oil is so great that we really kind of focus on, if we really are going to change some aspect of healthcare, we have to know what we're saying is true. And we also have to share with them what isn't always marketable. It doesn't always work. It sometimes takes two injections. It sometimes takes three injections. But what I do like about it, speaking to somebody like your mother, she probably loves the doctor that really partners with her to get her well. Unfortunately, with a lot of the changes in healthcare, these guys have less time less time to spend with patients because there's the paperwork is a lot. And I think that when you run into these guys that don't come in, say, hey, and walk out the door and then let one of their nurses talk to you, that's a doctor you want to hold on to if you can. Opportunity from our side to talk to patients, particularly here, is we are, and most days we have more people working here than we have patients because communication is key. We want them to know, best case scenario, here's what happens. Worst case scenario, it's not that bad. It's just you're going to see us again. But we expect you actually join Bennu as a member. We never call them customers. And as a member, we expect to see you a couple of times a month for the good news, the bad news, and another intervention.
So back to selling, and I get that, and I recognize that there is both aspects of the business, one being the more patient-facing, member-facing part of the business, but what you're really doing on the other side of the business is coming up with the therapies.
That's
right?
The innovative side.
That's the innovative side, and that's the side I suspect is also very exciting. You have a really strong background in sales. You've done sales a number of times throughout your career, so you know what it means to have to sell. You know what it means to have marketing. So thinking about selling biosciences, right, and the innovations that you are creating, developing for regenerative medicine, what is the role that marketing plays in that growth?
You are so good at this.
I don't know about that.
Got to keep redirecting me. I think that, you know, of course, the role that marketing plays is directly to healthcare decision makers now. And in those instances, fortunately, unfortunately, it's about cost. Because we're using we're repurposing the patient's own cells, the cost here can be very effective for the best of systems. But a lot of that marketing is how do we implement this new strategy? There was never really science in the operating room. There was carpentry to some degree. All of a sudden, now you're talking about, you know, most of the people that we employ are either nurses, doctors, or a PhD scientist. So we're trying to help the hospital to understand that we can effectively use the patient's own regenerative properties to facilitate a better outcome in surgery. And that's what we're really selling, is that we're the experts. We know that most, if not all, of my VP letters and C-level are PhDs. I'm not myself, but everybody else is.
This notion that because you are really marketing to two groups, right? You are marketing to patients,
yep,
and you are marketing to the medical community. You're marketing to patients, and you're marketing to the medical community with this message of science.
Yep.
And so kind of how you bring that together and have that, and what you think is going on in order for marketing to be able to do that. Because there's a lot more to the strategy there than just, you know, banging out some emails and a website.
Epiphanies are not easy.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Before we delve into it, we're going to turn our conversation back over to Paul.
And the quick break is actually very simple. We just want to remind you that Vision Edge Marketing works with chief executive, financial marketing, growth, strategy, customer insight officers, all sorts of people in all sorts of industries, including manufacturing, technology, financial services, medical device, life sciences, and transportation logistics. All of that and more, they help them face their growth and find a performance metric that works for them and a way to move forward. Customers rely on Vision Edge Marketing's expertise to make more effective and faster fact-based decisions regarding customers, markets, products, and the competition. And they show them how to improve and prove the value of marketing and leverage data analytics, processes, and measurement to increase their overall relevance and ability to deliver greater impact. All that and more, it's a lofty goal, but they deliver it every day. You can too at visionedgemarketing.com. Just like it sounds, visionedgemarketing.com. All right, back to Laura.
We're back, and we're having a great conversation with Kevin Dunworth, CEO of Selling Biosciences. Really cool company, doing fascinating, meaningful work for everyday people, for people who are struggling out there, particularly orthopedically, and need ways to manage their pain and be able to go on living their lives. And so Kevin and I are talking about the role of marketing and growth and what it means when you really are bringing a brand new innovative science to the market. And you're trying to get medical professionals who have potentially their own ideas about how things need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to market to them, and you're marketing to patients and giving them, you know, something, a story that's an alternative potentially mm-hmm. to traditional orthopedic surgery.
Orthopedics, we dabble in heart. We have a position in cosmetics.
Yes.
Anywhere there's inflammation and it causes an effect that's unwanted, cells play a role in that.
Absolutely. So what do you think are the two most important things that a marketing organization needs to do to help a company like yours grow organically when you have this sort of new story, new market? You know, it's really not just about pumping out more ads or, you know, more content. It's really a different, more, it's about a strategy.
Sure. I guess one of the things that we struggle with is we get to do business with, at one point, exclusively the thought leaders, these people that lend themselves to the next thing. So they were easy to get meetings with, even though they're the busiest practitioners. They're easy to talk to this about it because they want to understand the next thing. But they somewhat get insulated into their group, and it didn't as effectively work that they would proselytize our message to other health providers.
You were hoping they were going to be evangelists.
For sure.
So in a way, that was sort of your strategy early on, was we'll have an evangelist strategy.
Yep.
But it didn't quite play out the way you had hoped.
Key opinion leaders have always been great about that. That's that main thing that they do. But I do think that cells in themselves are either this full-time practice of evangelizing to your patients versus your constituents, other surgeons. So we have struggled to take this great message in these key opinion leaders to that next group of doctors. So we see people that never use cells, and then we see people that have stopped mostly doing traditional surgery and just use cells. And those are the bookends. And then everything in between, we're trying to figure out how to become more effective to market to that greater group of people.
And that's where there's a lot of people. You know, if you look at the technology adoption curve, right, you've got those
10 or 20%.
Yeah, tax. Early innovators, or maybe only 2 or 3%, right? Those very, very, you know, early innovators. And you reached out to those guys. They get it. Yep. They're on board. And so really now crossing the chasm, so to speak, right, and getting into those early majority, kind of even done some of the early adopters, but really getting into that early majority, that's sort of the next hurdle.
It's interesting. They've actually become, I guess what we struggle with is they become not only an early adopter, but they then become a contributor. And that's what eats up a lot of their time. I mean, we have doctors that run labs. We have doctors that now work directly with us. Evangelist portion of that whole idea, we definitely need support there. They need support there, and we need to be that person that supports them. But that was not our plan from the get-go.
So I sense that we're going to be some new and exciting things happening in 2019,
this
right?
This is our year, yep.
Yes, this is your year, which is why I'm glad we're having this conversation. But you've been in this space a long time. You've been in sales. You've been in marketing. You've been in operations. If you could take a moment, just even stepping outside of just selling biosciences and thinking about what you know about industry and about as an entrepreneur and as a businessman, what do you think are the two things that every marketing organization could do better to drive organic growth for a company?
I think it's the passion and creativity, which often go hand in hand. But, you know, passion spends energy. Being creative is kind of something you're more born with. But to drive that throughout an organization, I think marketing's used to marketing from the inside out, and sometimes they need to also market inside. You know, one of the things we had done early is I created an uncommon common area, like everybody else, is a place they could eat and sit. But we put it smack dab in the middle of our office, so when you were, you know, in earshots of engineering, the biology and the cell group, or marketing, we wanted to have this great collaboration and exchange. At one point, a guy that ran our warehouse had renamed more products than any other person for the marketing department. He had named nine of them. And I really think it came from this trying to market to ourselves inside, because you can imagine it's not like we were hiring people that came from a stem cell company. When I got started, we were one of the, if not the first, one of the first.
Yeah, you've been at this for a while.
13 years.
So we only have a few minutes left. So when you think about marketing and you think about the folks that you've had in marketing, what is it you want them to measure to show that shows to you that they're moving the needle for the company?
You know, I'm always looking where we go next. And as we've gone from one discipline to the next in medicine, marketing hasn't effectively told me the size of that opportunity in different silos. And once we got outside our comfort zone, mostly around orthopedic and spine, we were cosmetics. We did a really poor job getting into it because we didn't understand the demographics of that group. It was a cash business. We've learned from that. We've made a lot of corrections. But the demographics of each opportunity with cells, because they're the same cast of characters biologically, we tended to treat all medical industries the same. And they're very diverse.
So what we're really talking about, and this is a conversation that several of the folks that have been so generous with their time on this show is the notion of the upstream, mm-hmm. really being able to understand your customer base, your market, your value proposition, your differentiation, all of those things before you try to go out there and beat the bushes and do all the tactical work, you know, whether that's email campaigns or go to events or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. And so it's easy to get down in the demand gen space, little d demand gen, and away from the big picture story that you need to tell. And what I think you're saying is we probably needed to do a better job of segmentation. We probably needed to do a better job of really understanding what's unique about those segments and how to tell our story in those segments. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
You bet. Well, I think at some point we were kind of in the trenches with the people we should be marketing to, and they were more marketing to us. And so we've made some corrections. We've got some big changes coming first of the year. But that was a learning curve. You tend to convince yourself you're in such a new and exciting business that the old tried and true methods don't always apply. But really, at the end of the day,
they do apply.
Yeah, you can't have people in the trenches that aren't armed.
Right. So. And so what I'm hearing you say is really, really understanding your market and being mm-hmm. able to segment, even though you might think it's all very much the same, because you think it's the same. There are nuances that are really important to pay attention to. So that whole notion about segmentation. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up our time together. I've been a great guest. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
Before we do, is there any things you would like to share in terms of your own journey to being a CEO or your insights or lessons learned in business that you think might be helpful to those folks out there listening?
Sure. I would tell you that I think I had it a little bit easier. I wasn't educated for all of this stuff. Sports certainly gave me confidence. What you need the most when you have it the least. Get started. Go do it. Don't think that you're unprepared. You just need to do more to make sure that you're prepared the next time you get a chance, because this isn't the last win or the first lost.
Kind of back to your boxing days. You
Absolutely.
Know, every match is another match.
Another time to learn.
Another time. And in boxing, you have all those rounds to go through just because you're
gotta losing. Adjust.
You got to adjust.
No boxing.
Right?
Well,
a little bit. But just point being that, you're learning about your opponent. Obviously, that's not quite the same metaphor here, but you're learning about what you need to do, and you're actually adjusting in real time.
You bet.
Right? In the ring.
Yep.
Which is a little bit different kind of environment.
Every contest is not the same, so the guy that does the best is the guy that can make adjustments on the fly.
I think that's a really good message to leave folks with. It's important to be able to adjust on the fly. Thank you very much,
Thank
Kevin.
You.
Paul, we'll turn it back over to you.